Play the music.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome back to The Table.
A podcast where listener discretion is not necessary.
I was so confused. Oh, no. I'm sure our listeners were confused. I was confused. But I know what I'm not confused about, and that's my name, because I'm Tyler.
I'm Cody.
And we're your friends.
That's true.
Wow. Hi, brother.
Hi.
I'm so glad you're talking normal again.
Yeah. Well, enjoy it while you can.
Oh, no.
you never know what I might just slip it in Ooh. There a little bit.
How you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am a little tired.
Same.
We have had a lot of people out at work, and I have been putting in that hard work today.
Putting in that labor?
Yes, and like I'm blessed to say that, you know, things in my life have been, you know, pretty fair.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Except the weather.
Well, right. But like I've been dealing with like other people's situations.
Yeah.
And so I've been like holding that emotional, I don't want to say burden, because I don't want them to think that they're a burden. I don't want anybody to think that they're a burden.
Yeah.
But that weight, I'll say.
Yeah.
And so like me carrying that, like while dealing with a bunch of work stuff, I'm like, I'm tired. But that's it. Like, I'm good.
Welcome.
I've remained in good spirits.
That's good.
Praise the Lord.
That's wonderful. Praise God.
Even better now that I get to record the podcast for you wonderful listeners.
It's almost like we're here. We're here. We finally get to just sit down and talk. And we're going to do some talking today, brother.
Let's do it. I'm excited about it.
We are going to be discussing a very important topic about a very important thing.
Yes.
If this is your first time here, welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoy what you hear, or if you're curious about, what else have these guys done? Feel free to check out our website at www.thattablepod.com.
As well as our personal socials.
Which you should do with all due haste.
Yeah, but those are linked on the website.
Well, you never know when they may be unavailable. They may there may be a blackout, and you may not be able to access.
How did you survive with that?
I did so well.
Exactly, same.
I did so well.
Look, I'm not even going to lie. Whenever I only knew because WDAM, the app that I have.
Yeah.
Also, as it gives me weather updates, but it also gives me like important news updates relating to the surrounding area. And it was like Facebook and Instagram are out. And I like looked down from the work I was doing. I was like, huh. And then I kept doing my work, went to break. And like habitually, I went to Facebook to like kind of scroll and just see, and nothing was loading. I was like, huh. Cool.
It's still out.
Right. I was like, wow.
How long can we keep this trend going?
No, I think it's back up.
It is, but it was six. I'm talking about at the time.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I wish it was still out.
I saw one guy tweet, because Twitter was still working. He tweeted a screenshot where he tried to go onto Safari and log into Facebook, and it said server is not available or something like that.
Yep.
And his tweet was, the internet is clean again. And I'm like, have you been on TikTok?
That's what I'm saying. Or even Twitter for that
exactly.
case. Exactly. I think it was fine. I loved the people that got on there, and they were like, some of y'all needed a break. And I'm like, here you are posting
exactly
seconds after the internet is
How long you been waiting to put that one
right,
up?
Right, exactly.
The only inconvenience for us was we weren't able to announce our new episode as early as we would have.
Right, but if you're a Patreon listener, that doesn't matter because you've already heard it.
You had it a week early. You're like, oh, I know what it is.
Another benefit to becoming a Patreon listener.
I'm going to know what the new episode is while listening a week early to the next new episode.
Right.
Because, and I'm going to do all of this without Facebook.
Exactly. So fancy.
Well, let's get into it, brother.
Let's do it.
What would you do?
Brother Tyler, I'm going to give you a situation. And you just tell us what you would do.
And now I know how this works.
Now you know how it works. So now that everyone's caught up to speed, you're enjoying a nice, pleasant evening.
As I do.
As you do.
Yeah.
You're in your home. You're resting. You're relaxing.
Wait.
When suddenly, out of nowhere,
okay,
an elderly lady enters your home and
again
and proceeds to ask questions. Tyler, what did you do?
I believe I've talked about it before.
When this took place. We've alluded to it, but you haven't just told the story, including the details of family members escaping. And
right. Yeah. Well, you know, then let's just get into it. I don't remember how detailed I got into it when I talked about it last time, but here you go. I was in my home, enjoying a restful evening for once.
Right.
had the lights off. You know, I was watching a movie, you know, having a great time.
Yep.
I had just sat down to start this movie. I think I had popcorn, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I hope so.
Right. And so lights dark. I had the but I had the blinds open because I always like to let in some natural light, and it's behind me, so it doesn't bother me, my watching experience. So all that's fine. And then I thought I heard something, but I just kind of ignored it because I had my TV up really loud, and I'm like, I'm home. There's nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah, like whatever. Next thing I know, the door opens, and I look around in great confusion because I'm not expecting company. I didn't hear. I didn't think I heard a knock, and it's like 2:30 on a Saturday, and I'm like, hello? And she said, this used to be a salon. She said, oh, hey, is this a salon? I'm like, this is my house. She said, didn't there used to be a salon here? I'm like, this is my house.
So to be clear, she has opened the door. She has entered the home.
She has, at this point, walked into my home.
Yeah.
And I am, you know, comfortable in my home.
When you were watching a movie. Not expecting company.
Right, exactly. In my home. The right. Comforts and privacy of
the
my
privacy,
home.
The privacy. Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm like, to her defense, it did used to be a salon.
Yeah.
To my defense, the signs indicating it was a salon had been removed.
Yeah.
The lights indicating welcomeness to others had been shut off. all decor indicating that it was still a salon had been removed. So I feel like I'm more in the right here.
Of course. You were by no means in the wrong.
Right. So, and she's like, oh, well, I'm sorry. And here I am thinking everything is resolved.
Yeah.
And that she's about to make her escape. And instead, a friend of the show, represented on merch that you should check out, family member Mochi, my cat,
yeah,
decides to escape instead.
Because she is standing in the door.
Because she's standing in the door, wide open.
Open.
Yes, deciding to interrogate me in the comforts of my home. And she said, oh, your cat got out. I'm like, it's okay. I'll get it. She said, do you want me to do something? I'm like, just
leave,
go.
Leave.
I'll take care of it. She's like, okay, I'm sorry. Close the door. I like go outside and get Mochi. Luckily, he didn't run too far, but it was just the inconvenience. And, you know, now I can say that I have dealt with a home invasion.
Yeah, you have. You survived a home invasion.
Right, exactly. So that was less than ideal. So
Mochi did what we expect him to do. He bounced.
Right.
He's like,
so
you're on
I
your
guess
own.
In that situation, what I would do is question why you're in my home and then ask you to leave.
There you go. And we know this because that's exactly what you did.
What would you do, brother?
Same.
Right. Just yeah. Can you please leave my home?
If someone were to, well, see, into well, me, like in my house, you would have to like walk in and travel a distance
to get to you.
To get to me yeah. where I'm at. So now we have even more issues because between my door and where I'm at, you know that you're not supposed to
you're
be
not
here.
In the business.
Yeah, you're not in yeah. a business. Leave.
Right.
Please.
Yeah. Those will probably end more hostile,
yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah,
she sure. did not have hostile intentions, I assume.
Hopefully not.
Because she was looking for a salon.
Maybe she was casing the place.
I don't know. She looked like a middle school teacher.
She got in the car. She's like, he's got a cat.
And nothing and else.
And he's got a couch that he was sitting on.
Right. That's about it. I don't even know if the lights work because they were off.
Right, because they were off. He ain't got no electricity, though.
Right. Oh,
Lord. Well, may it never happen again.
In Jesus' name. Speaking of our Christ.
We are going to talk about something. You know, every now and then we throw in a serious topic.
Yeah.
Because we're serious men.
Yeah.
We're scientists.
Right.
As we've
yeah.
established. Yeah. We're going to be talking about the importance of attending church, or I guess if it were to be better said, is it important to attend and to be involved as an active member in your local church?
Let's do it.
So I have a few things prepared here, sort of a structure for the episode.
Okay.
First of all, right off the top, in your own words, is attending church important?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
End statement.
Right. No. It's like, yes. The end.
Well, I don't want to get too far ahead because I know yeah. you do have a structure for everything, but it just, I'll say accountability,
yeah,
fellowship, you're going to the Lord's house, you know,
mm-hmm.
Scripture, demands it.
We're going to get into that for sure.
Exactly. That's why I didn't want to go too far. Yeah. It's just all around a good thing to do. I can't really think of any downsides.
Yeah.
You know, especially not any that are quote unquote validated or worth it.
Like, right.
Like you could say, oh, it costs gas money and time, but it's like, not, that's my reasonable service.
Right. Well, and so does other things cost exactly. gas money and time.
Exactly.
And they don't ultimately, at the end of everything, when it's all said and done, they probably don't amount to much,
right.
if anything at all.
Right.
So obviously you and I agree that going to church, attending church. Now, to be clear, we understand and acknowledge that the church is not a building.
Right.
God's church is a group of people
yes.
called by his name.
Mm-hmm.
And we acknowledge that. But the building where we assemble, we refer to it as a church. We all understand that.
The church building.
The church building. Now, with that being said, here's something that we've all been experiencing lately, particularly last year.
Yeah.
Let's talk about in-person versus online.
Let's do this because, well, go ahead. Go say what
well, I was just going to say that, you know, thank God for online services.
Absolutely.
Whenever, absolutely. When we were literally unable to leave because COVID was running rampant.
Yeah.
And for the safety of everyone, particularly our elders, particularly right. those with health issues that cause them to have less than ideal immune systems.
Well, even at the beginning, we didn't know much about it.
Exactly.
We were like, everybody stay home.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Everybody stayed home, with the exception of a few choice people, like our sound men, some right. musicians, some singers.
Well, even at the beginning, it wasn't that. It was just the preacher.
Yeah, well, that's true. At the very beginning, it was that. But it was a very, and still is in the right context, a important thing to have online services.
Well, COVID aside, if you can't make it for any other reason,
yeah,
like some people are like, oh, well, I can't make it. I'm just, I'll try again next week.
Yeah.
Online services is provided so you that you don't have to miss church in right. general. Because the church service itself is integral to your walk with God.
For sure.
And not just going to the building, but even though going to the building is important and we should strive to do that whenever possible, the church service is also super important. And if you can't physically make it there, the live stream is able, you know, to yeah. to remedy that to some degree. But that does not negate how important it is to make the attempt to physically come to the building, the church building.
Yeah. Well, and I would say that, you know, whenever you're unable to come to the building for whatever reason.
Yeah.
There is a, it's almost like your priority should then be, I'm going to make it a point to attend via online.
Yeah.
Because the, you know, one thing that our leadership stressed to us is this is not an excuse to not, you know, have
right.
church, to not
exactly.
partake in what's going on. We still need to give. We still need to partake in his word.
Right.
Read your Bible. Listen to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't going to be the norm forever.
Yeah.
And it would be very easy, and I would say for some has become very easy, to just use it as a crutch, right. as an excuse to, well, I have this available, I'm not going to go. Now, with that being said, even leadership acknowledges if you're choosing to, you know, you want to be as cautious as possible, but you're still watching.
Yeah.
You're still, you know, because, I mean, let's be honest, it's very easy to just not tune in.
Yeah.
There's no one there to stop you.
Right.
No one is probably going to text you and be like, hey, I noticed you weren't watching tonight. Like
right.
you said earlier, accountability. There's very little to no accountability if you don't tune in.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to if you don't show up, people notice that. They
yeah.
see that you're not there. They take attendance and they you know, oh, Brother Cody's not here today.
Right.
You know? So it's more obvious that way, less obvious online.
Well, as far as like the, I don't want to move too far ahead of the online service part because there's something to be said about the attendance with that. Like as far as like not being able to go and some people making that choice, sometimes those people are the catalyst for a move of God in those services.
Yeah.
The people that choose not to come, like what if they had come and God was using them to, begin a move of his spirit throughout the place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like maybe that person being there and stepping out in worship would have sparked something else, somebody else, and they would begin to step out and somebody would have been delivered because of that.
Yeah.
As far as tuning in online and the whole attendance to the church service in general. And I'm sure we're going to get into this more detail here in a second, but the Lord will speak directly to the man of God some things that he won't speak to you.
Yeah.
And so he uses sermons to do that sometimes. And so sometimes you think, oh, me and the Lord, we good. But like the Lord's trying to tell you something through leadership and through ministers that you're not hearing because you're not tuning into service.
Yeah.
You know? Sorry, I didn't mean to get too far ahead.
No, you're good. And would you agree with the statement that when it comes to online services versus in person, that online, it's not the same.
It is not.
It is more difficult to focus.
There's a lot of distractions.
There's a lot of potential distractions.
Distractions. And like you said, there's no accountability.
Yeah.
No one's there to see you engage in service. And that's something that like during that time of COVID, whenever there weren't singers on the platform during the services, because of course you and I being involved in music,
yeah,
whenever they did ask for musicians and singers, we were the ones that were there.
Yeah.
But there was a time when we weren't, and that was a learning process for sure. And I think to some degree, the Lord used it to teach people like, are you going to worship in the privacy of your home when nobody's watching you? Like whenever you're not up in the front of the service, not being seen by live stream, when you're in the privacy of your home, are you going to lift up your hands in worship? Are you going to back up the preacher, even though the preacher can't hear you, but yeah, you know, in regards to keeping yourself focused and things of that nature? Like it added a level of I don't want to say authenticity, but like you had to keep yourself accountable,
yeah,
you know? And like, hey, like I would do this in regular service, no different here.
Yeah.
The church, like we said, the church is not just the building. I am the church.
Well, it became very revealing.
Right.
It allowed for self-reflection.
Yeah.
Of, have I been doing this just because of the energy in the room?
Yeah.
Have I been, you know, am I able to lift my hands when no one's looking?
Yeah.
Is that something that makes me uncomfortable?
Right.
Is it uncomfortable to me? So when the preacher says, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Of course, we rarely hear let's bow our heads, but it's usually, right, you know what I'm saying though? It's like, let's pray together.
Yeah.
He starts praying. Do I pray?
Yeah.
You know, because there's no one around to see me. There's no one around to hear me. That was very interesting for me personally, is that just being completely transparent, mm-hmm, at the beginning, I did feel a level of discomfort.
There was a level of awkwardness.
It's like, yeah, it's like there is a level, like no one, and it's not that you're doing it for a show. I don't want, right, to make it, but it's like, it almost felt like, well, this isn't church.
Yeah.
You know, like this isn't
a real church.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, this is
like we're watching, we're not, yeah, actually in church.
Well, exactly. That's yeah, what it felt like at first. It felt like I'm a okay.
Spectator.
Yeah. You're a spectator. I'm watching TV.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what it felt, ooh, like.
Some people are like that in the physical building.
Well. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. But that was something that I had to be honest with myself about, yeah, as an individual.
Now, there are sometimes in particular where like you couldn't deny the power of God that was moving in that service.
For sure.
And the word that was being spoken, it was like, Lord.
Yeah.
But I remember one time in particular, and this is not pitting roses on us by any means, but like we were watching service one day here together, us three, me, yeah, you, and Sarah. And I remember there being a level of awkwardness, but whenever we actually started worshiping, started lifting our hands and praying and, yeah, stuff like that, we had an awesome time,
yeah,
being here watching service and stuff like that. And I think once you get past, I say that again, not to pin roses on us,
yeah,
but to encourage that if you can get past that initial barrier of, okay, I'm at home, I'm not in church, but I'm still going to participate. If you can get past that and start participating and start worshiping and engaging yourself in the service, you can have church in your home. Now, yeah, again, that's not justification for staying home.
No,
but whenever you are stuck at home, even going forward in the future, it's a good rule of thumb to have.
Well, I think that it's great to look at. It depends on how you view it. It's a great resource to have.
Yeah.
It is a blessing for people who are physically unable, yeah, to leave their homes. It is a blessing when you're sick. Like you said earlier, you don't have to miss church. You can still tune in.
Right.
Where it becomes, I'll use the word dangerous, Mm-hmm. Where it becomes dangerous is when you start to view it as a substitute.
Right.
As
using
well
it as a crutch.
Yeah, it's like, well, I don't have to go to in-person church because now I can just watch it online.
Exactly.
I'm not going to get too deep into that because that's between you and your pastor and the Lord. But I'll just say that, you know, reevaluate that view.
Yeah.
Reevaluate ask yourself, because like I said, I had to be honest with myself about how I felt about the online services. I would encourage you to ask yourself, why do you not want to go to church?
Right.
Why do you not want to put forth the effort to get up, get dressed?
Especially if you're driving to work every day.
Exactly. Well, and not only work, you're driving to do
anywhere else.
Anything else.
Yeah.
But, and I understand that it's Sunday, you would agree, Sunday is one of our busiest days.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you become involved, and of course.
Now, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
No. Well, by no means, and I'm not complaining at all. I'm just saying that, it's one thing to just chill.
Yeah.
But when you become like, hey, you know what? I want to be a part of this kingdom. I want to do, if there's a job for me to do, I want to do it.
Yeah.
And it becomes very difficult, if not impossible, to do that when you're just viewing online and then you bounce.
Right, exactly.
And you may not even tune in. And I say this as, I've been guilty of it. I've been guilty of, I'm right in the middle of something.
Yeah.
I know we got church in 5 minutes, but it's just online, and I'll go back and watch it later.
Watch it later.
I'll watch it later.
The biggest lie you've ever told yourself.
I have maybe twice, went back and watched it later. I'm just being transparent.
No, absolutely.
And do I feel guilty? Yes, of course I feel guilty, but it wasn't enough to stop me.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough to remedy that.
Well, Lord help us.
I know. But the thing is it now. Usually, I say usually.
Yeah.
Right now, in this current stage that we're in, thankfully, a lot of places are able to resume in-person services.
Yes.
So,
with that being said,
what does the Bible actually say about attending church? Now, I have scriptures here.
Yeah.
I have quite a few, and I will go ahead and tell you that to go ahead and just knock this out. None of them say in modern English, you need to go to church every Sunday.
Right.
But let's be honest with ourselves.
Right.
A lot of things in the Bible are not that worded in that way.
Yeah.
But if you...
We're also human.
Yeah.
And tend to take a mile when given an inch.
Exactly. So if you... But these scriptures make it pretty clear that the assembling of believers coming together, and we'll get into this, but whether it be in a church building or not, the assembling of believers is important. So let's get into that. The first one is Hebrews. I'm gonna have to turn a little bit here. I gotta make a little bit of mic racket. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. This is the first one that comes to mind for me when someone says, well, where does the Bible say that I should actually attend church? It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
Yeah.
So what this is saying is not only should you not forsake the assembling of yourself together, but as you see that the coming of the Lord is drawing closer, do it more often.
Right.
Like, don't just do it. Don't just limit it to Sunday, Wednesday, or whenever you have church.
Yeah.
You know, you should be doing it more. Thus, stuff such as our Bible study, prayer meetings, such as, lock-ins or whatever.
Yeah.
All of that is right and proper, and it's good.
Right.
And there's no downside to it in the spirit. Your flesh is going to say, I don't have time.
Ooh-wee, your flesh is not going
to
like it.
Your flesh is going to be like, well, I could be doing X, Y, Z, and I really need Tyler.
Right.
I'm so busy.
Bruh.
You know?
I have a list a mile long. I literally had to message my boss today and be like, look, tonight I have this, I have this, and I have this. Like, I know I have a ton of stuff that needs to be done, regarding work, but this is what I have to do tonight.
Right.
I will make this time up and these tasks up later.
For sure.
You make time for what you want to make time for.
You do. So the next set of scriptures here is Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 through 20. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, this does not say, hey, go to church. But, you know, but what it does say is there's some things that we can't accomplish by ourselves.
Yeah.
It's very important for us to be in fellowship of the believers. And so Brother Dobbs preaches about it and talks about it all the time, is that the power of agreement. You and me can go to take something to God in prayer and in agreement. We're going to pray in agreement. And that is, that does something in the spirit. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Now, of course, people try to take stuff and twist it.
Right.
You can't pray something that's not God's will.
Right.
I mean, we got to pray the will of the Lord, obviously. But that I picked this scripture because to me it just illustrated the importance of having other folks around, like-minded believers who are willing to pray with you, who are willing to pray for you.
Who you're not ashamed to worship God in front of.
Exactly. So moving on here, this is a very simple one, and maybe we can talk about our thoughts on it.
Okay.
It says, it's Psalms 122 and verse 1. And it simply says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house
of
the Lord. There's a few things in this. First of all, I was glad.
Yep.
I wanted to go to church.
Are we going to church tonight? Do we have to go?
Are we really? Like
I'm not on schedule. I really don't want to go.
It's Sunday tomorrow, you know,
or
tonight's
Now, we say that about Monday, but.
Right. Well, Monday is a
joke. You got to go to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Monday is bad. No, I'm just kidding.
It's the day the
Lord has made.
Thank you, Lord.
But also, this scripture says, it makes it known that, okay, there is a house of the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you become the temple of God.
I am God's house.
Who is God's house?
I am God's house.
So we know that and we acknowledge that, but there is also, and even in the Old Testament, there was the temple. There's the structure that is the house of God.
Right.
And even Jesus in the New Testament, whenever he walked into the temple and he saw that there it had basically been turned into a Walmart, he said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've turned it into a den of thieves.
Yeah.
He was not pleased that his house had been defiled.
Get these hands.
So the church building, while it is just a building, yes, it is a sacred building. It is a place where God has given us to come together and worship as his church.
Yes.
So,
and honestly, there's nothing like it.
There's really
like,
not.
Like you can... Like, you can have church in your own house, and you can do this, that, and the other, but, like, if you come to a church service, and the Spirit is moving, and, like, the Lord is ministering, like, there is just, it's not easily recreatable.
It's really not.
It's just that. I want that
right.
all the time.
All the time. Please. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Psalms 149 and 1 simply says, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. So again, we're just going back to let's come together. Let's congregate. Let's not be separated and isolated. We need to come together as believers and as the body of Christ.
One thing about that, this happens in churches, but I don't know if you've ever gone to a conference or a worship concert or something like that where everybody that's there is there to worship. We are there. To, like, it doesn't matter, like, what this, that, and the other, yada, yada, yada. Like, we are there to worship. And when the music starts, when worship begins, everybody is worshiping with everything in them, with abandon. It is unreal. And it's like, me and my friend have talked about this before. It's just like, whenever you're experiencing that, and everybody is there just given their all, like, and it's, you know, it's for God. You know, it's not like, ooh, I hope I get featured on this Instagram video. I hope that I get caught on this highlight video. It's like, no, we are here to worship the King of Kings and we're doing it together. There's something about having that friend with you next to you where it's like, yes, this is what we're doing right now.
This is it. Yeah.
That's just, that's another reason to go to church. Like, of course the experience itself is wonderful. But if you haven't worshiped with your friend side by side, jumping, giving God praise. You ought to try that.
You ought to try it. And you know, this wasn't a scripture that I had written down.
Yeah.
But it is one that goes right along with what we're talking about and what you just said about when you come together, and that's the key word is together.
Yes.
When you're with other people, you know, something the enemy is striving to do, and if it hasn't become apparent by now, just look around, is he wants to isolate us.
Yep.
If he can get you isolated as possible, then he's got more of a chance of you stumbling and for you to fall and stay down than otherwise. And there's a scripture that goes along that lets us know this. Let's see, it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I'm trying to see where would be a good place to start. Let's see. Let's start at verse 9, just to be safe. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And then it goes on to say, you know, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone?
Yeah.
And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Yeah.
So this goes to show, if I'm struggling in my life, I start saying my spiritual life, but it could just be in life in general.
Yeah.
And I fall, and I'm just by myself.
Right.
There's no one there to pick me up. There's no one to like be like, hey, bro, you good? Like, let me pick you up. Let me kind of dust you off a little bit. Now, obviously, in the physical, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But spiritually, emotionally, the Lord can lay it on your friends' hearts.
Right.
The Lord can lay it on your pastor's heart.
I was about to say, it doesn't have to necessarily be your friend, because some people will say, oh, my spouse or my family member will... You know, they know what's going on, and they'll be able to pray with me.
Right.
And they'll use that to kind of cover that ground of that verse. But sometimes the Lord uses people that you're not exactly super close with to minister to you.
Yeah.
I've had several instances where somebody that I've talked to maybe once or twice will come from across the church and speak a word into my life that I didn't even realize that I needed in that moment. But had I not come to church or just relied on solely my quote unquote inner circle, then I wouldn't have received that word that I desperately needed.
For sure. Yeah.
So who knows? The answer to your situation may be somebody else may have it.
Right. Well, if you're choosing to isolate yourself, and I say choosing, if you've allowed the devil to put you in a place where I don't want to be around nobody,
right,
I don't want to talk to nobody, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you've reached this point where like, okay, now if you fall, who's there to pick you up?
Right.
You know? Instead, it's going to be him there being like, see, you fail.
Exactly.
You might as well stay down because now I've beaten you. Ooh. And blah, blah, blah. My last set of scriptures, now, of course, we got to go out with a lengthy reading.
Right, of course.
Is Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 38.
Ooh.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ain't he good?
Thank you, Lord.
For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call, as our Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41 says, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Yeah.
So what this is saying is on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was initially poured out and all these souls are being added to the church, people will say, what does apostolic mean? This right here that I just read is what it means. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, which they got from Jesus, which is what was preached here on this day of Pentecost. And it just, I love the way that it stresses, look, they were together. They went from house to house. Yeah. They were breaking bread together, not just the physical food, but the spiritual bread, the word of God. None of this was happening. It doesn't say, and they all went to their own house and did this by themselves in the comfort of their home. They were all together, and they were all, this was the early church.
Yeah.
This is what the church was. There wasn't a single building that they went to. It says right here that they went from house to house. And so even though they were going from house to house, they were still the church.
Yeah.
They were still the body. They were together. They were the body of believers, and they were all in one mind and one accord, and God was moving. And the Bible says that he added to the church daily, with the church operating the way that it was in those days, and I would say now in these days.
Right.
So that is answering the, all of that was to answer the question of, what does the Bible say about attending church? And this wasn't, there's more scriptures, but I think that this is probably enough to prove that, yes, Jesus does expect us to come together with like-minded believers. He does expect us to assemble. Does it have to be in a church building? No, it can be in a coffee shop. It can be in a warehouse. It can be from house to house. It can be wherever we do it. We can
It might come to that.
Well, and we're going to get to that too, because we're going to talk about the future of church attendance. But before we do, let's talk about real quick a pastor.
Yeah.
In your own words, why do we need a pastor? Why is that essential?
Like I said earlier, the Lord will sometimes speak to your pastor things that he's not going to speak to you. And that's things that you need to hear,
Yeah.
It's somebody that you can confide in, hopefully. Somebody right. that you can talk to, seek wisdom for, as long as you're also praying. Some people be going to their pastor and haven't even prayed about things.
Yeah, not praying.
Like, has the Lord told you yada, yada, yada? It's like, have you prayed about it? Maybe the Lord wants to tell you.
Exactly.
But like I said, sometimes the Lord does tell your pastor things specifically. It's just like there's also a level of authority in that. And you're to be under a pastor. I'm not sure of the exact scripture that says that, but I know that it's in there, and I know that there is a level of covering that needs to take place. And it's just very important.
Well, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles,
yes,
and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Fivefold ministry, right?
That's the fivefold ministry.
Yeah.
Now, what that literally means is your pastor is a gift from God.
True.
And the point of the pastor and all these other offices that it lists here is not for them to do all the work. Your pastor should not be the only one in the church that's preaching.
Absolutely.
Because what this says here, according to the Bible, is that he gives us those offices for the perfecting of the saints.
Right.
So your pastor and all these other offices, they are there to help and equip us as the saints.
Right.
They are there, like you said, for us to go to. And of course, they help with personal issues. And you can, and not only that, we cannot operate in authority unless we're under authority.
Yeah.
And because otherwise, what are you doing? Like,
exactly.
It's not going to work. You're a rebel.
Right.
You're a rebel. And Jesus didn't operate that way. Jesus said, I don't do anything that my Father doesn't tell me to do. I don't go anywhere my Father doesn't tell me to go. He doeth the works. That's what Jesus said. So obviously, we need a pastor. We need a godly authority in our life for so many reasons. In my own words and just from my own experience, you've already mentioned it a few times. But what I have learned is there's been sometimes you go to God in prayer and God will speak to you. He will tell you things. But then there's sometimes when you go to him and he doesn't really say anything, and you may pray for days, maybe months, and maybe right. you know, however long, and never get an answer. And what I've learned
fasting
over time,
included.
Right, for sure. And what I've learned over time is there are some things that God wants you to go to your pastor about,
right?
Because 9 times out of 10, in again, in my experience, before I even get to him, God has already spoken the word to him.
Yeah.
And he's already like,
well,
been there and already got that word.
Well, and like you said, like praying together in agreement. A lot of times people, I like to try to keep my pastor updated on, you know, the bigger things in my life. Now, I don't tell them every single little detail.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they don't want to know.
Exactly.
They really don't.
But
that's okay.
If there's something huge that's going on that I think requires prayer, yes, I'm going to be praying about it. But if I'm praying together with somebody about it, like that, it makes me feel a lot better. There's a higher chance of the Lord's will being done, because it's like, okay, this is what I felt in prayer.
Yeah.
And it's like, they'll either confirm that or like, no,
and I think you need to reevaluate.
I think you need to go
yeah.
pray some more, maybe yeah. fast a little bit. Like, it's just, you know, big job moves, moving
sure.
in general,
yeah.
you know, things like that, especially things that require changing churches and like,
oh yeah, for sure.
You know, it's just big stuff that like, it's just nice to keep them involved, keep them informed. I guess that's the word I'm looking for, informed
yeah.
in that, because they're already praying for you.
Oh yeah.
Like a good pastor is going to be praying for, you know, his congregation. And so it's nice. I'm sure it's nice to some extent for them to know a little bit of what they're praying about.
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, there's a lot of people who get hung up, people that try to use it, you know, oh, well, he's just a man. Yes, he is a man.
Right.
And he's a man with flaws, and he's a man that has questions.
Right.
And he is a man, hopefully, that also has a pastor.
Yeah.
But here's another thing. He's also a man. Wow, the lights are flickering. I hope this doesn't go off. He's also a man who has been given a call of God and has
yeah.
been put in that position by God.
Hopefully.
Yeah. For the equipping of the saints.
Right.
That's you. So, and then, you know, one of my favorite examples of the importance of a pastor is the story of Samuel going to the house of Jesse. Long story short, God has sent him there mm-hmm. to anoint the next king of Israel. And he goes through all the sons of Jesse. None of them are the one. And then Samuel's like, hey, do you have any other sons? Is this all of them? And Jesse's like, well, I got one more. My
yep.
youngest and smallest is out there. He tends to the sheep. And Samuel realizes that's got to be him. We won't sit down until he comes into this room.
Right.
And when he walks in and everything that's happening is happening, God does not say a single word to David. He spoke mm-hmm. to Samuel. He could have just as easily been like, David, this man is here to anoint you to be the next king of Israel, but he didn't do that. In fact, if you read, Samuel don't say nothing. He anoints him, and then he leaves. And so it's just like,
yeah.
oh, what was that all about, you know?
Right.
So he spoke to the man of God and not David. Now, David does get to a place where God begins to speak to him, but there's also times when David was not being spoke to about certain
yeah.
things, and God would send the prophet. He would send Nathan. He would send
right.
the man of God to deliver a message, especially when it was in the times when, like, David needed to hear it from his authority.
Right.
And, you know, the one that stands out to me is when the whole deal with Bathsheba happened. God sent Nathan to him and said, mm-hmm. You are that man. You know,
yeah.
you're the one that did this thing that you're so mad at. And it's important to have a pastor. It's important to have
Absolutely.
A man of God. And if you don't have one, you ought to get you one.
Do that.
Now, we alluded to this earlier, and we're coming to the end here. We're closing.
Right. Musicians come.
Musicians come. Real quick, the future of church attendance. We talked about it a little bit before.
Yeah.
What do you think that looks like as things progress to the coming of the Lord?
Well, there's always the potential for things to go really south
yeah.
and we wouldn't be able to have church quote unquote openly. There's the potential for us to have to gather in each other's homes,
yeah.
but that's the thing. We would probably gather in each other's homes,
yeah.
you know, like together, because that's what we've established here today,
yeah.
you know, because even live streams would be very difficult if that were the case. you know?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. So, well, they could be banned or, exactly. You know, they could be, a live stream can easily be stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah, or tracked.
So, yeah, I feel like it'll probably, there's no telling where it's going to be at. It may be just a handful of people. Like, we don't know. One, might as well go to church all you can while you can.
Right.
Not, I'm, this is not me saying that we're not going to be able to go to church in the future. I'm right. just saying worst comes to worst.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I really think, I'm in full agreement with that, and we've heard Bishop talk about it, that God yeah. is restoring the apostolic church to the way that it used to be,
yeah.
which is, as we read earlier, going from house to house, man. And right. when you, you know, right now we have this big, beautiful building that has, you know, 200, 300 people in it. But whenever, if and when that body of believers breaks up into groups of, you know, 5 here, 10 here, whatever, yeah. and goes from house to house, we're still the church.
Yeah.
We're still the same body of believers, part of the same body of Christ, but we're just not in a building.
Yeah.
And if we're not able to have church not in that building, then we need to check ourselves.
Right, absolutely.
But it still isn't, like, if that's what your church turns into, I would say you need to be attending that. You don't yeah. need to use
even
it.
Even more so.
Right. You don't need to use it as an excuse to, well, I'm a lay low to, you know, X, Y, Z. Right. No, be a part of the body.
Yeah,
because absolutely. Like, because again, if they come knocking on your door and you're by yourself, who's there to help you? Who's yeah. there to, you know, to lift you up, and who's yeah. there to pray for you if something were to go down? Like, who knows what could happen? That's not
right. The, this we're just talking worst case scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't want to scare nobody.
No, well, I mean, it's not to bring fear, but it's just the
reality.
The idea is we need each other.
Yeah,
we cannot make it alone.
Well, and if you can't go to a big, nice, fancy building now that's air conditioned with sound system and like wonderful ushers that are greeting you at the door and things of that nature, nice facilities. If you can't go to a church now, if it does come to this, imagine how hard it's going to be to go then when you're going to somebody else's house.
That's exactly right.
Like, especially if it's somebody that you're not super familiar with because you didn't go to church.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole other reason. Like, it's just, it's important in so many ways to go to church when you can, while you can. You know, you never know.
I made, and this is just a little aside. When I was younger, I made a video out of pettiness.
Oh my.
Because it was someone that we were friends with at the time. I think it may have even been a family member. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But they were mad that they didn't know about something that was going on at the church, but they never came to church.
Right.
And so I made this little video. It was one of those like Vine style videos, like a lot of jump cuts.
Yeah.
And I said, you want to know why you don't never know about anything going on after church? I'll give you one clue. 'Cause you don't go to church. And then I said, you want to know about the dinner after the service?
Hey.
Come to the service. Ooh. You want to know about blah, blah, blah?
I want to know.
Come to the church.
And then, about the dinner after the service, God.
And then at the very last one, I said, because everything was, you want to do this? Come to church.
Yeah.
You want to do that? And then I said, you want to make the rapture? Oh, I was like, hey. Oh, I'm going to start Ooh. Preaching. And then I ended it. But I was like, oh, you petty. So in all seriousness now.
Come to church.
Right. In all seriousness now, you may be listening to this and being like, you know what? That would be great. You've convinced me. However, where do I go?
Right.
Because exactly. in some places, there's a church everywhere. They all seemingly preach or believe different
similarly
things. Yeah,
or I was about to say differently or even similarly.
Or similarly,
like some people's like, oh yeah, well, we're XYZ.
Yeah.
And then, like, you get there and you're like, huh?
Well, I'm gonna just say this. Tyler and I both attend we're part of the United Pentecostal Church International. Whoop. I'm a licensed minister through the United Pentecostal Church International. Tyler is, he is going to be.
Y'all speaking all that. I be singing a lot.
Tyler do be singing a lot. So with that being said, obviously I would like to immediately go to recommend that you yeah. find a UPCI church in your area, but it doesn't have to be UPCI. Find you a church that preaches
truth.
The whole truth, nothing but the truth, and all of it.
If you are looking for a UPCI church, I know UPCI.com does have a locator on there
mm-hmm.
where you can type in your location and it will show you the closest UPCI church to you.
And if you're not sure, you know, you may have the question, well, what is truth, or what, you know, how do I know what church to
Ooh,
go to?
I'm so glad you asked.
I would invite you to genuinely, this is not,
yeah.
you know, genuinely, I would invite you to hit us up.
Please.
We don't have all the answers. We don't even know all the questions.
Right.
But we do know enough to point you in the right direction.
You can contact us through our website.
You can contact us on our socials.
Absolutely.
Or however you want to do it.
Or if you know us, come talk to us.
Yeah, we're available to you, and we're just, you know, we're here to help you in any way we can. If we can point you to a church that we believe would be helpful to you, or just answer your questions or whatever it may be.
Or if you just want to talk.
Yeah.
You know, if you need somebody to lift you up, encourage you, listen to you.
We're really good at listening.
That's
I know we talk a lot when we're doing this.
But then we spend a lot of time afterwards listening because we do talk so much.
That's true. That's true. So, church is important. We encourage you to go to church. And not only that, I would say be the church.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Don't just go to church and sit on a pew. Become involved.
Yes.
Be a part of the kingdom and what God is doing.
It can only benefit you,
Are you going to get tired? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to get frustrated? Yes.
More than likely.
Are you going to, in your flesh, sometimes not have a good time? Yes.
Absolutely.
But it is all our reasonable service.
Oh, yeah. And at the end of the day, like we say that, like it happens. It's not like we're miserable 24/7.
No. By no means. But I'm just saying, like, you shouldn't come and expect, like, oh, well, now everything is Skittles and, you know.
Right. I'm never going to have another problem again in my life.
That is not reality.
No.
So just know that. But yeah, go to church, be a part of the kingdom.
We'd love to meet you there.
Jesus loves you. Just know that.
So you heard me slip it in a second ago. I said that we'd love to meet you there because this week on Drop the Bop, I'm going to be recommending a song called Meet You There.
I see what you did there. You silly goose.
This is Meet You There by Messengers of Peace featuring Aaliyah. Lord, help me pronounce his last name. Camarena.
Sister who?
Camarena.
What's her first name?
Aaliyah.
Sister Aaliyah.
Yeah. Messengers of Peace. We've recommended one or two of their songs before. This is actually not talking about meeting you at church, but, you know, double entendre.
Right.
It's talking about actually meeting you in heaven.
And more importantly, meet you in heaven.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. I love songs about going to heaven. Peep our first Drop the Bop, Heavenly.
Oh, yes.
Which we've already talked about several times.
Have you heard of the song Heavenly?
Right. Some would say it's Heavenly.
Look at you. You're on it today.
Oh, no, nah, but
my goodness.
It's very good. I will say this. It is very much a bop. It is not a slow bow.
Good.
But, right. I work with what I'm given.
I understand.
It is not up to me who releases what.
Well, I like a good slow bow now.
Same.
I like
But I did want to bring a good bop this week. I will say that me personally, the chorus does do something where it's like it repeats a certain line and I like it. But then in the second half, I would have gone into like a more wordy portion of the chorus, but they just repeat that line. So do be prepared for that little bit of repetition. But nonetheless, it's a song about going to heaven. It's a bop. It's uplifting. It glorifies our Christ. So at the end of the day, you know, five stars.
Right. There you go.
Check that out. That will be on our Instagram highlights for Apple Music and Spotify.
I have had a wonderful time.
I've had a great time.
I'm glad that we were able to get together and talk about going to church.
Same.
And just talk about, you know, I like doing a serious topic every now and then.
Me too.
So we had a good time. And ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of The Table, which is a family-friendly podcast that we upload weekly for your amusement. If you like that, subscribe and head over to Instagram and Twitter, where you can give us a follow at @ThatTablePod. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and share this podcast with your friends and your family. If you'd like to learn more about other ways you can support the show, take a moment to check out the support tab on our website at www.thattablepod.com. We thank you so much for hanging out with us again today. It's been our pleasure to serve you. And as always, until next time,
be blessed.